Play by the rules to find out more.
I'm Kim Cartwright. A meeting between six countries in the Asia-Pacific region has brought about an agreement on how to deal with cross-border terrorism. Representatives from Australia, Indonesia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Brunei and Philippines have been gathering in Manado, Indonesia to focus on the threat posed by returning Islamist foreign fighters. Attorney General George Brandis says the six nations will continue to cooperate on a common goal.
We have agreed on a series of specific measures to enhance cooperation. The six nations represented today can continue to work together, to learn from one another, to assist one another, to ensure that we always stay ahead of the terrorists.
Australians fighting late-stage renal and lung cancer will soon have access to miracle drug Opdivo in one of the biggest listings on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. It will cost the federal government $1.1 billion, but patients from Tuesday will be able to access the drug at a cost of just $38.80 a treatment instead of about $5,000 each. Patients with a concession card will pay just $6.30. The drug has been credited with saving the life of AFL star Jared Roughead, among others. Treatment with the drug can cost up to $130,000, previously putting it within reach of only the well-heeled, but now Opdivo will be available to all patients. Renal and lung cancers kill up to 8,800 Australians each year. Two men have been winched to safety in a difficult rescue operation complicated by nightfall after their boat capsized in a remote corner off the Top End. The men, locals from the Port Keats area, had scrambled to shore after their boat was caught on a rock by the turning tide and overturned. They managed to activate a distress beacon, which led a rescue helicopter to them on a small tributary of the Fitzmaurice River around 300 kilometres southwest of Darwin late yesterday afternoon. They were trapped beneath escarpments on both sides, and it was decided a difficult helicopter winch rescue was the only practical option when the Care Flight helicopter reached the scene after dark. The men had managed to light a fire and place torches as well as establish radio communications. Overseas, and the migrant who killed one person and injured six others in a knife attack in a Hamburg supermarket is a radicalised Islamist known to German security agencies but is also believed to be mentally unstable. Chancellor Angela Merkel says a full investigation will be conducted. The BBC's Damien McGuinness has more.
The 26-year-old man came to Germany in 2015 as an asylum seeker. His application was denied and he was due to be deported, but he lacked the necessary documents. The refugee shelter in Hamburg, where he was living, has been searched, and so far police say there is no evidence that he had accomplices or was part of a terror organisation. Yesterday, the man entered a supermarket in Hamburg and started attacking shoppers with a kitchen knife, killing a 50-year-old man. The attacker was caught by locals as he ran away.
Back home, and a musician has been injured by a firecracker that had been thrown onto the stage during a performance at Southwest Rocks on New South Wales's mid-north coast. A band was playing at a licensed club on Sportsman Way around 10:30 last night when a lit firecracker was thrown onto the stage. A member of the band attempted to extinguish it with his foot, however the bunger exploded, burning a hole in his shoe. Police are asking for anyone with information or video of the incident to come forward. This is Air News. Emily Seebohm has finally ended Australia's gold medal drought at the World Swimming Championships in Budapest after defending her 200-metre backstroke title on day 7. Seebohm clocked a new national record of 2 minutes 05.68 seconds to clinch Australia's first gold of the meet on the penultimate night of competition. It capped a remarkable comeback from 25-year-old Seebohm, an 11-year veteran of the national team, who considered quitting the sport after health problems sabotaged her Rio Olympic campaign. Hometown hope and early pace setter Katinka Hosszú was second, Kathleen Baker of the United States third. Rookie Australian Kayleigh McEwen, just 16 years old, was fourth, clocking a new junior world record, 2 minutes 06.76 seconds. The stage is set. The Crusaders will make the 11,500-kilometre trip to Johannesburg for next week's Super Rugby final, and it's all thanks to the Hurricanes. First, the Hurricanes downed the Crusaders 31-22 in the final round of the season, enabling the Lions to finish first overall on the ladder. Then, last night, the Hurricanes squandered a 22-3 lead against the Lions to lose 44-29 in their semi-final and forced the Crusaders to travel to South Africa. In AFL, wins to North Melbourne, Greater Western Sydney, Port Adelaide, Richmond and Geelong. In NRL, the Knights, Raiders and Roosters got the points. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather today, partly cloudy, winds northerly 20 to 30 kilometres an hour, turning northwesterly 25 to 40 kilometres an hour during the morning, and then tending north to northwesterly 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the evening. Anyone understand that? Maximum of 26 degrees. It's partly cloudy today. That's a beautiful winter's day. And Dave Stanley,
Jimmy,
what is the weather right now in Tempe, and can you tell us what it's going to be like today up there at Tamworth where they're running?
Good morning, mate. To Tempe, 17 degrees currently at the moment. Sunny conditions. And in Tamworth today, partly cloudy with a maximum of 22.
Sky Sports Radio proudly supports Jockey Celebration Day on behalf of the National Jockeys Trust this Saturday. We celebrate the achievements of all jockeys and honour those who have lost their lives while riding. Visit njt.org.au for more.
It's international racing at its best.
Lady Aurelia down the centre in the white and green colours.
International racing at its very best.
7 days a week.
Live and exclusive on the Sky Racing Network.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer the opportunity to own and race the half-brother to champion three-year-old Who've You Got You. Our colt is by sensational sire Fastnet Rock from Temple of Peace, a stakes place winner of three races. Who've You Got You was a dual Group 1 winner of 10 races, including the Alumba Stakes, Caulfield Guineas, and won over $3.25 million. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the Fastnet Rock half to Who've You Got You. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Milosevic, Rolanzo available, can hit them from long range, will try one, what a goal, what a superb goal by Josh Rolanzo, it's just his second in the Hyundai A-League, and it is a teach.
It's one corner remaining for Chas Mostert, 250 hard fought kilometres, and Super Cheap Auto Racing is victorious. Well done, Chas Mostert.
What a way to finish off.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the BT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. Jimmy Smith and Dave Stanley in the studio today. I'm very happy to be back in this country. Greatest country on the planet, as a mate of mine says. Morning, Joel. There's 196 countries on this planet, and we're lucky enough to be born in this one. And I'm sitting alongside a guy who I reckon wakes up every morning and just pinches himself about what he does day to day. And mind you, not what he does, but how he does it. Good morning, Dave Stanley.
100%. Good morning to you, Jimmy. And I'm following and echoing you there with what you say about this great country. Coming back from Japan, came back from America.
Yes.
It's just nice when you touch down at Kingsford Smith,
isn't it? A little cheer. Yes.
And I flew with Qantas and
hang on. We don't do paid or unpaid commercials here.
So no.
Is this flight for comment or anything like that, is it?
No, well, I'm just going to say, the first thing after being in a country where g'day wasn't high on their language,
yes.
Getting off the plane to a g'day, welcome to Sydney. It was something about it.
How did you go with the language barrier up there? Because I have travelled to Japan previously, 21 years ago, and it is very tough.
A lot of Google Translate and a lot of hand signals.
You're good at that. See, that's where I see a strength of yours, that explaining yourself via your hands.
To order, say, another beer, quite easy. It was just two and you had to, very, very
point
good.
To what you were drinking and just...
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, right. Fantastic. Yes, I had time in the US of A and, it showed you the magnitude, just how massive these markets are around the world.
Just quietly punters. Mm. Following you on Instagram, which I recommend most of the listeners should, putting on a clinic. You're here at Las Vegas.
Yes.
You're at pool parties. You're just showing us all up, mate.
You know,
you're doing too good.
We went to Las Vegas and just left the kids with the sister-in-law. And so that was nice because we don't do that much. But went there. 42 degrees. Thanks very much. They said, you can just lie down on those banana beds here. I'm like, have you ever looked at me? I'll burn to a crisp. So, yeah, great break. Great to be back, though. Our main man, Ray Thomas, he is away. He's still, I tell you what, Talk about a man in love, in the city of love. Please go to Ray Thomas's Facebook page.
He's punching.
You've declared
he's punching. A beautiful Tanya. We know here at the office.
Yes.
And look, Ray, whatever you're doing, share the secrets with us all, please. Write a book.
They're having a great time, and they are away for another couple of weeks. So Davey's filling in for Ray in the meantime. We've got a big program. Dare I say it, Michelle from Dubbo, who was talking to me about this on Twitter yesterday. It's a massive program that we have coming up today. Phil Moss, nice and early to talk about football. He's got training commitments with Sydney FC. We'll have a look at the race replays. Dave will take us through that. Kim Waugh, well done, Kim. Shiraz wins after a bit of a barren spell. I think it was it December 2015?
Yeah, long time.
The previous win. We'll have some scratchings around New South Wales racing today as well. Zorba will give us all his thoughts on the game of rugby league. We're in the middle, we're actually past the middle point of round 21. Andrew Adkins won the Apprentices Premiership. He had a win yesterday. Not many people have beaten Huey Bowman over the last couple of months, but Andrew did yesterday.
100%.
In the stewards' room, that counts as well. Corey Brown, we'll have a chat to him. Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest in the world of rugby league. We'll have the Z&Z quiz. How did that get? Just out of interest, producer Jeremy, how did the Z&Z quiz go last week? What's that? Jared Middleton won.
So that's my team.
Well,
so Ray's team.
We need well. Okay, Ray, what's that? Null and void? Okay, all right. So
have you lost a quiz? Because last time I was on this program, you were skiding that this is, you just never lose.
Yeah, well, you know what
happened? You're the winks of the quizzes here on the weekend show.
Ray won 9 in a row. Do you understand the statistical probability of 9 in a row?
Jeez.
You're the schmuck. Thanks very much for that. I thought all along that there was collusion between producer Jeremy and Ray to get him to win. Now I'm convinced of it. Anyway, so the ZNZ quiz will be up. There's an NRL watch in the team colours of your choice. Goes to the winner on that one. Our legend of the game, a little bit different today. A little bit different. And I tell you what, I'll declare up front that he's a mate of mine, but I am really looking forward to speaking to Steve Mascord, rugby league journalist, rock and roll journalist, part gypsy. Incredible story that he has to tell. He basically admits that he has nothing in his bank balance, but he's got a life rich in experiences. He has followed the great game of rugby league and rock and roll all around this globe. Mm-hmm. And he's written an unbelievable book, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to encourage you all to buy it. But check this out for a first line of a book. I know Andrew Webster quoted it earlier in an article a couple of weeks ago, but here's a start. I was conceived in an insane asylum and don't know for sure who my natural father is. And that takes you on the start of the journey with Steve Mascord. So we're looking forward to having a chat with Steve about that. He'll be in the studio. You can ask him questions too if you would like to. Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au, Scotty Foster, we'll have a chat to as well. And, of course, always like taking your calls on 1353 53. Get us on the SMS as well. SMS already coming in, 0419 767272. That's 0419-SMS. BSB, and of course our Twitter account is at Big Sports WEND, and Dave has been busy around that this morning already. Now, let's get to the games of rugby league. 16-8, the Panthers over the Bulldogs. Sharks, 26 points to 12 over the Warriors. Didn't see those games, just saw highlights, as I did of the Eels. Impressive win, 28-14 against the Bronx.
Can I say, the Panthers-Bulldogs game, you didn't miss much.
I read that.
The Warriors were just classic Warriors.
Right.
Just,
did they threaten to get into the game there at some stage?
At some stage, but then they just throw the ball around and knock on, and then Sharks too good. Eels were very impressive against the Broncos.
I believe down 12-0.
Yes.
And so
that's a $5, $6 in the run, and live betting, and then they just came back and played really good football.
So we're going to have a look at we're going to talk about the Kenny Edwards incident. He's been fined $1,500. Now, can someone just confirm, I want some clarification around this, is it because he hit the player in the head when he was on the ground? Because otherwise, there's nothing wrong. You might not agree with it, and it's not going to win Kenny any fans from a supporter point of view, but if the player is lying on the ground, you can either put a finger on them and they can be called held, or you can smash them and they can be called held. So I'm just wondering whether you can't find someone because you didn't approve of his act. It's either an illegal act or it's not. Yeah. So I just wonder whether it was because they thought he hit it in the head. I've watched it a few times, so I want clarification around that. We had the games yesterday, the Knights 21 over the Dragons 14, and Paul McGregor blowing up after. But please be careful. Please go and watch the entire press conference, because he said that it's one small piece of the press conference across a wider discussion from Paul McGregor, where he basically said, it was us. We didn't do things right. We completed at 63%. We didn't find the balance between risk and reward, and they paid the penalty for it. He was very strong on what he said about the referees, and it'll be interesting to see what the National Rugby League do about that. I did hear, of course, even over in the USA, they were talking about Ricky Stewart's blow-up the week before. And do yourself a favour and catch Michael Maguire's response to an incident in that game last night. The Raiders 32 points to 18 over the Rabbitohs at ANZ Stadium. It was a really measured response to a very important issue in the game. So check that one out from Michael Maguire as well. And, of course, the Roosters last night got home 22 points to 16 against the Cowboys.
You're up and about, aren't you? You've got a little spring in your step this morning. You would have been, after that first half, you would have been in all sorts. If we had had Jimmy Cam at home on the couch, was there anything thrown at the television or were there dramas?
Can I reveal this exclusively on this program? If there was Jimmy Cam on the couch at home,
right,
would have seen an empty chair.
Well,
I'm sorry, we flew in on Saturday morning. And I didn't make it through.
You didn't make it.
I have taped it, although I know my son Austin will be watching it already. He actually was up at 3 o'clock watching it, would you believe? But 3 o'clock this morning, so I had to send him back to bed. So all I've seen is the highlights of that one. It would seem it was good comeback from the Roosters, very disciplined in the second half. Luke Keary, as he's done a number of times this year, provided the point of difference. Now, as of today's game, Cameron Smith, just Cameron chalking up his 350th game. That's an NRL game. 350th game. That doesn't mention his 41,
Origin.
Or is it 42, Origin games.
Yep.
His test matches, he's getting near the 50 mark. He might have got to 50, I think. Just incredible, the amount of games he's... So he's going to be playing his 350th
And
today.
These two teams don't like each other. Out of all... we know that there's great rivalries, but we remember that after that... it was evening at Brookvale. Remember there was the big...
Oh, the Battle of Brookvale.
And they had the big punch-up on the sideline. They don't like each other, these two teams.
I don't think many people do like teams like the Storm. One of the reasons is because they're very successful. I know Cronulla don't like the Storm. And they got a bit of revenge. Not a revenge. They got one up on them last year, didn't they, to win the premiership. But, yeah, you're right. They don't like each other, these two sides. Titans and West Tigers is the other game. Now, it'd be interesting... The question I want to raise, and you sort of raised it with the Roosters-Cowboys game. The Cowboys don't really draw, but where are the South Sydney fans? Where have they gone? I know it's a bad look for ANZ Stadium. We'll get to Stadium Wars a little bit later on in the program, but where have they gone?
Well, I'm sort of coming back to, is it just getting too expensive, or has everyone just got Foxtel subscriptions or got televisions on Channel 9 and it's getting cold, so they stay at home. It's cheaper to probably go and buy a...
It's cold in Melbourne.
Yeah, I know.
In fact, it's colder.
Well, last night, I was surprised. I was at Allianz last night, and I know the Roosters don't draw a crowd, and I know that there's not many Cowboys fans in Sydney, but to only get 9,000 people on a night where there's nothing else on in the town, there's not like you're competing with the Swans or anything out west. I was very... For two teams as well, high up in the comp, good...
Yep.
It wasn't finals football, but it was. You could tell that both teams, they needed to get the result to sort of cement their position moving into the back end of the comp. And, I don't know.
It's not a new talk topic that we're bringing up from that one, but give us a call on your thoughts, 1353-53. The talk topic that we do want to bring up, though, is given the fact that you are filling in for Ray Thomas today, we're looking in sporting life, the great fill-ins, the great... opportunities that were presented to themselves to individuals or indeed teams, and they took them. I'll give you one. John Reinberger. Evan, do you know who John Reinberger is?
No, tell me.
Right, John Reinberger played one game in the, as it was then, New South Wales Rugby League. That was the 1975 grand final for the Sydney Roosters, or the Eastern Suburbs Roosters, as they were called then, and they won 38-0.
And he played
only one in his career. That was the game.
Did he do it? Did he produce any school?
He was solid.
Yep.
Yeah, he was. They only led 5-0 at half time, but he was solid. But he played one game. It was the 1975 grand final.
That's outstanding.
Famous game. What about you?
Well, I went Nash Rawilla when he replaced Jay Ford, 2009 TJ Smith. Nothing wrong with Jay Ford, but they wanted... There was a... I remember Joe Janiak at the time. I wasn't a young fella, but he sort of said, no, we want Nash because we don't want so much dead weight on his back. And I just remember him trucking up and just... running away. And that was at the time when Nash was, you know, winning premierships and riding a lot. Well, he was riding for Gay and Chris. And It was just beautiful to watch, especially too because not the gloss had come off Takeover Target at the time, but there were a few up and coming horses around, and everyone thought, oh, he's had enough Takeover. And yeah, it was just beautiful to watch.
You said you were just a young fella. The incredible thing is, and people find this really hard to believe, you are still just a young fella.
I know.
Hard to believe. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. Back with Phil Moss.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Excuse me, mate. Does the next train stop at Wynyard?
Oh, yeah. It goes all the way to payday.
Because I just came up with the goods on a 10-leg multi. Stuff the train. We're getting a limo.
Cool, man. You're good to swing by Wynyard, yeah?
With the new Check and Collect feature on your Tab app, you can now check your ticket and collect the winnings anytime, anywhere. Gotta love a public display of betting affection. Tab. We love a bet. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Breed your mare to proven Group 1 producer Dewport, sire of Australian Guineas winner Hey Doc and recent Sydney winners Heavenly Anna and Slow Burn. Dewport's yearlings averaged $78,000 in 2017. All-inclusive breeding packages in Dewport, including adjustment, vet and GST for $10,000. Contact Angus Lamont at Coringle on 0429 842 875.
Milos Ninkovic now has the chance to win the title for Sydney FC from 11 metres. The Johnny Warren medalist, the best player in the league this season. If this goes in, it's Sydney's crown. Ninkovic scores! Dreams have come true in Sky Blue!
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Jimmy Smith and Dave Stanley all the way up until 10 o'clock today. Time now to speak to Phil Moss, our football man. And Dave, there was a time when this bloke used to come into the studio.
Well, that's right, you know, and he used to come in and he's, you know, battling along. And he's still a battler. He's one of us, but isn't he just flying?
Isn't he with the bling bling boy? Isn't that what you call yourself these days, Phil Moss? The bling bling, Sydney bling? Bling FC?
Good morning, boys, and welcome back, Jimmy. I'm surprised they allowed you back into the country.
Tell you what, it took some work, I know that. There were some concerns at the airport, but anyway, we're here. Hey, you know what the first thing I want to ask you about, Phil? And, you know, when you do a bit of travelling, you become a bit more worldly. I couldn't believe it, but Manchester City were playing Real Madrid at the LA Coliseum. Thanks very much. And I read an article about Man City and the growth of that club. It's more than a club, it's a sporting group. It just gives you a little bit of perspective about the game of soccer and what these massive English and European sides are doing.
It does, and the International Champions Cup, really, that's the competition that's taken these massive worldwide, world-renowned clubs around the world in the off-season to play each other. It's a wonderful success. And we spoke about it during the week on the show, just about how it adds a bit of meaning to pre-season. There's no meaningless friendlies in this competition. There's a trophy up for grabs, and as we said, the biggest clubs play against each other. This morning, in a couple of hours, we've got Barcelona playing Real Madrid. That's an El Clasico outside of Spain.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, it is great. Now, what about the Matildas? I know they had a big game against the USA. We got a result there?
Yes, we did. It's a very, very famous victory. It's the first time Australia have beaten America in plenty of attempts. I think it's around about 15 or 16 times they've played each other. And the USA, of course, are 3 times World Cup winners and 4 times Olympic gold medalists. So for us to go over there, get the result, Alan Stajic was very grounded in his response to the result. It was a 1-0 victory for us with Tamika Butt scoring the winner in midway through the second half. But, you know, he said it's a fantastic result. Let's take nothing away from it. Let's celebrate it, enjoy it. But we've got to get these results at major tournaments, and that is when we'll start to win silverware. And the Matildas, you know, don't forget, they've won the Asian Cup in 2010, and they got to the quarterfinals of the 2016 Olympics. But these girls, the Matildas, are really putting women's football on the map, and it's a huge time to be involved in women's football. There's a lot of exciting things happening. FFA just announced a major sponsorship deal that would continue with the Matildas, and we've, of course, made a bid for that 2023 World Cup to be hosted in Australia. So a massive, massive time ahead for women's football. The Matildas are flying the flag just the way they should be.
Yeah, good to see you, Mossy. Now, you fellas have had the checkbook out. I see you've got a big signing.
Yeah, Luke Wilkshire, he's a superstar of the Socceroos. Played in the 2006 World Cup and 2010 World Cup, but particularly the 2006 World Cup, he burst onto the international scene. Not a lot of Australians knew of him leading into that tournament, but Bush Hiddink played him in that first game against Japan, and you know, from that moment on, he was an established Socceroo, make no doubt. Played right back and did it with absolute class, and he's a massive signing for us. 80 caps for the Socceroos, two World Cups, 250 games in Europe's top flight in Holland, Russia, England, and he's coming from a massive club in Dynamo Moscow. Played for Feyenoord as well, FC20, Middlesbrough in the EPL. So, you know, the experience and winning mentality he'll bring to our dressing room is it can't be understated. So we're all wrapped in that signing.
Yeah. What about some of the other movement in the A-League, Mossy? Western Sydney Wanderers are releasing players as well.
Yeah, they've released Spanish defender Aritz Borda. They've got plenty of stoppers in Thwaite, Corn Thwaite, Aspro, Hamill. So it's no surprise, really. Borda never really established himself as a first string central defender under Tony Popovich. So it frees up a foreign spot for Popper to go shopping if he's got the money to. And yes, to watch this space. But that's happened at Western Sydney over the last couple of days. Stefan Mork has come out and said he's out to repay Melbourne City. Now he's signed on a 1-year loan deal from NEC in Holland, and he's come full circle because he started off with Melbourne Heart, got his A-League debut with them, then went to Adelaide and had a breakout season, was part of that double winning side in Adelaide a couple of years ago, and then went to NEC, and now he's back at Melbourne City as a new Melbourne Heart, if you like. So that's an interesting one because Anthony Caceres has gone the other way. He's gone to the Middle East with UAE side Al Wassel, and he's put that down to pretty much limited game time last season, plus a signing of Mork. So, yeah, he's a loss. Anthony Caceres is a good player, but he's gone overseas for a great opportunity.
I've got to ask you, Mossy, looking at the tab.com A-League futures, Sydney FC 350, then Victory at $5 and Melbourne City at $5.50. Do you think that's about right?
It really, it's so hard to predict at this time of the season, Dave. And, you know, we've still got a long way till a ball is kicked in anger. And it really does. This is the time of the season where you really lay your foundations for what's ahead. And, you know, the recruitment side of things is crucial. The recruitment in the A-League for foreign players has just come along in leaps and bounds over the years. And, you notice there's less massive name signings, but the signings from overseas are really having an impact on the pitch and showing their quality, and that brings the standard of the local players up too. So yeah, look, it's anyone's game. Even the Central Coast Mariners are, you know, they're signing, you know, they've made some very astute signings under Paul Okon. So, you know, it's going to be a very even competition.
Neymar to China, name a price, any price.
I can't believe this.
No, he's not. He's going to China with Barcelona.
Oh.
So let's not create a headline that's not there, Jimmy boy. But there's been a lot of speculation about him going to PSG on a world record transfer fee of something like €220 million. But both sides, as PSG players, Dani Alves came out and said he has not been in his ear. They're Brazilian teammates, of course, in the national team, trying to get him out of Barca. But, it's been going on now for a while. Neymar stormed off the training pitch the other day, had a fight with one of his teammates and stormed off and apparently got in his car in the car park and off he went. So, but he has come out and said he's going to China with Barca. That's a good sign for Barca fans. But watch this space. It's an ongoing soap opera.
give me an understanding of what you're doing this morning, Mossy. What is it that's taken you out of the studio and having you fulfil your role with Sydney FC?
Yeah, Jimmy, we're on the training pitch. We had yesterday off, so Ernie's scheduled us for a training session this morning, and Sunday morning sessions are great. You know, everyone gets together and has breakfast, and then we get out on the training pitch, do our work. Players work very hard, and then they get their Sunday afternoon with their families. But they're the sacrifices you have to make to be a professional athlete.
Well, we appreciate the sacrifices you make, by not coming into the studio and just doing this one on the phone. So,
about your sacrifice, Jimmy? Flying all the way back from America just to be in the studio.
Sit with Dave Stanley.
Well spotted, Phil. Actually, can we send a prize out? We've got Sony Music CDs to give to the best callers today, and no, actually, producer Jeremy's saying no to that one. Anyway, Mossy.
I think there should be a prize to Dave Stanley for having to sit through a few hours with you, Jimmy. But anyway, we'll talk about that another day.
That is a fair point in itself. Good on you, Mossy.
Good on you, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Phil Moss, with all the latest in the world of football. Taking your calls now, 13 53 53. Let's go to Darren's on the line. G'day, Darren.
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, just on the train going to work. Jimmy, you asked about where the South supporters are.
Yeah.
There's a pretty simple answer. A lot jumped on during the Golden Run, and I'd call that 2012 to probably the end of 2015.
Yeah.
And then the performances dropped away, and they've dropped away pretty badly at the moment, and all the bandwagons have jumped off. So it's only the loyal ones that have left behind.
And I know you're one of those, Darren. It just seems incredible, though, that to think that the amount of support that you'd get to games, and I know that it was sort of about, is it because they're chasing the Holy Grail, and once you've had it, then that desire for it drops off a little?
Yes, well, there could be a bit of that too, Jimmy, because I know a lot of regulars who used to go, and they used to go all the time.
Yeah.
Even they miss the odd games now. So, yes, there is some of that as well. But as for last night, well, that first half, that was deplorable. I mean, I know Mad said in the press conference about the, you know, that incident in the second half where Adam got hit high and then...
Yep.
Angus got sin bin right after that, and they scored two tries while Angus was off.
Yep.
Well, you know, but some of the, you know, the passing and the drop balls, and, you know, during the week, John Sutton said, we're going to play South Sydney football and we're going to get a consistent 80-minute performance. Well, if that was a consistent 80-minute performance,
I'll tell you what they were, Darren. They were consistently turning over the football for the 80 minutes.
Can I just say on that, they are playing at a joint that's designed for huge sporting events, and maybe an idea in the future the NRL could look at is you've got the two Sydney games on last night. Why couldn't, and I know our friends at ANZ Stadium would say, no, well, we want people to come there, but why couldn't both of those games be played at Allianz?
What a doubleheader.
Packages a doubleheader. Families come in. You get, 5 hours of entertainment?
The Roosters and the Rabbitohs working together.
Well...
What sort of utopia are you describing here, Dave Stanley?
I'm trying to get the NRL back.
What do you mean back?
Well, to only get 9,000 people to a match last night in downtown Sydney, Heartland, I don't know.
Well, that's Darren there. We take your thoughts on that, 13-53-53. Anthony's on the line. Hello, Anthony.
Oh, welcome back, Jimmy.
Thank you, Anthony.
And can I welcome Dave Stanley? Look, I listen to a lot of BSB. It's mostly quality, but when Dave Stanley filled in last year, it was 3 hours of total quality.
There you go.
Thank you, mate.
And Dave, you said it was easy work, and Dave, you made it sound easy too, mate.
Appreciate it, mate. Now we'll get your. What's the best prize, Jim? What have we got?
Hey, listen.
Jimmy, Clark filled in as guest host for the week.
I've heard, Anthony.
And Dave suggested that we should have put rum and coke in our cereal, and Dave, it worked. It made Stuart make more sense. Honestly.
Yeah, I heard about last week. So anyway, best move past that, Anthony. And your kind words about Dave Stanley have been duly noted. And we're prepared to send you out a CD pack?
Whatever the best prize we have there, just send him. I've got some movie tickets here.
Get out of there. That's for the best caller throughout the court. They're not for just random people you've organised to ring up and compliment you.
Anthony's black caviar at this stage. He is bolting in front.
Every day, Racing HQ brings you winning information. Fridays between 9 and 10.
Get the early mail for Saturday's feature meeting from trainers, jockeys and form analysts Simon Dinopoulos and Brad Davidson. Racing HQ, Friday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
It's been a long year, you've worked hard, now it's time to treat yourself in Hong Kong. Leaving December 5 with Ambassador Travel, you can be trackside and witness the very best of the equine world class during international week. All the details are looked after and it's 5-star the whole way. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday and Sha Tin on Sunday. With our Aussie speedsters hopefully out to conquer the world again in the sprint. There's tours galore including Macau or venture to Mission Hills for some golf. In between, grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. Call Ambassador Travel now. 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
It's international racing at its best.
Pakistan Star leading up the ground. Rapid Dragon in front from Pakistan Star. The puzzle now complete. Rapid Dragon takes the derby from Pakistan Star.
Love Asian racing?
We've got you covered with the best action from Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore and Korea across the Sky Racing Network.
Werther is right up to the task and he sweeps to the lead, getting past Blazing Speed, deeper out Eagle Way, then Gold Mount Helene Charisma inside the furlong. Werther bloke clear from Blazing Speed, then Eagle Way, but Werther, the horse of the year, is roaring away with the champions and Chater from Blazing Speed and Eagle Way. How sweet it is, Werther!
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yes, good morning. It's 7.36. Dave Stanley, Jimmy Smith here on this Sunday, and we're going to have a look at all the action now at Rosehill. Yesterday, we'll jump straight into and have a look at race 4. This was the Tab Highway Plate for the 3-year-old up, class 3 set weights, and Prada Miss comes to town and does a thing.
Bunny, Bad Girl and Nick's Vendetta eyeballing each other on the bend. In front of a point, Percy and Jack Knife, Force of Magic, making ground. Prada Miss has been deep all of the way. Into the straight now. Bunny, Bad Girl's run a race and Nick's Vendetta takes the lead. Out by a length and a half, Prada Miss has been off the track. In for the fight, though. Force of Magic got squeezed up. Caesars goes with late headway, but Prada Miss goes up to join Nick's Vendetta. The filly got ahead in front. Mike Taggerson's rattling home late. Prada Miss in front of Mike Taggerson and Caesars, Ghost and Prada Miss. Bowman gets the filly home. Prada Miss a length and a half. Mike Taggerson second. Caesars goes third.
So there you go. Prada Miss gets the job done for Sterling Osland. H. Bowman had a win. And by the way, it's been remiss of us not to mention, congratulations, Huey, on winning his fourth premiership. Just the 13 group ones.
Just.
For Hugh.
Just.
I think six of them were on Winx.
Yep.
But he's picked up a 7-meeting suspension out of yesterday.
Yes.
Not in that ride, but... and he did it. Of course, he tracked down Brent Navdala over the last 2 months, didn't he? Like he had a target on his back. He had 140 fewer rides than Brenton in the metropolitan area during the course of this year.
Big win by that filly. Sat wide and down the side. I'm sure a few people were going, oh, we're going to have to tear up our tickets here. But just produced beautifully by Bowman and just ran away from them. Let's move on. We're going to look at race six here, or hear race six. Well, this was all about a horse called Vaucluse Bay. A lot of these runners had been backed in the race leading up to it, but this Vaucluse Bay just sprints away this final furlong.
Bowman gets going on Zorkan, put Vaucluse Bay in a pocket at this point. Coming to the turn, it's Life O'Brien trying to fend off the challenge of Ashkander's under pressure. Vaucluse Bay looking for a split there, and then More Than Fabulous running on. Zorkan just couldn't quite sprint with him. More Than Fabulous at the 300, but here's Vaucluse Bay going underneath it. Vaucluse Bay and More Than Fabulous, they beat off Life O'Brien, but Vaucluse Bay at the 150, starting to edge clear now from More Than Fabulous, Life O'Brien. Nothing else, a place chance, and Vaucluse Bay wins it easily. More Than Fabulous just held second in front of Life O'Brien.
Vaucluse Bay will be where Corey Brown will be living if he continues riding winners. He's got a second one, of course, later on in the program, and we're going to have a chat to him later on today. But the good call from Darren Flindell. Looked like tucked into a pocket, just needed the opportunity for the run, Dave, and found it.
Yeah, and just that, the way it sprinted away, I think it's exciting. I mean, look, I don't know the heights that Vaucluse Bay will get to,
sure,
but in the right camp, around the right people, no doubt on an upward trajectory. The big race of the day was race 7, the winner challenge. Listed race, Classic uniform was well backed, got some cheap sectionals in front, was in for the fight, but Shiraz back from Queensland and not biting anyone this week. He had a bit of the nibbles last time out, but
this
was
hit on the nose by the
This was a big win.
To the straight, and Classic Uniform in front of Salt in a swing. Then came Shiraz from Extensible. Gold Symphony moves up, and Slightly Sweet is threading its way through the field. Classic Uniform from Salt in a swing. Slightly Sweet got chopped out, and Shiraz is picking up now. Shiraz goes up on the inside of Classic Uniform. It's Shiraz and Classic Uniform. Shiraz in front from Classic Uniform. Shiraz got it. Shiraz does it today. Just got in from Classic Uniform. Photo third, Slightly Sweet and Salt in a swing.
So, yeah, a bit of a lean streak for Shiraz, but and a bit of a problem child, from what we understand. A bit of a cranky old horse, but anyway, back in the winner's circle for Kim Wall. We're going to speak to Kim very shortly as well. So everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong for Shiraz.
Slightly Sweet, if you backed it yesterday, throw it in the black book or butter up again. Very unlucky coming through. Should have finished a lot closer. Not sure. Look, I'm not going to say it should have won, but it should have definitely been in the finish.
We like those sort of big statements here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, if you can, you know, blow up.
If we can blow up.
Yeah. Yeah. Make outlandish statements.
What about Most Exalted, winning race number 8?
In
the stewards room. Andrew Adkins, he got one up against Huey, and I reckon he'd be more chuffed about that. Oh, he'd be wrapped winning the premiership, the apprentice premiership, but, gee, I reckon he'd be up and about beating Hubert in the stewards room.
Wild and Famous just behind them, needing a bit of room. Mogador's tight for room. Then Morda Gain, and wouldn't it be nice, into the straight. Suspense, Richard the First. Zara Bay chimes in. Then Morda Gain. Mogador can't get a crack at them. Wide out, Hetty Heights is winding up. Zara Bay hits the lead. Hetty Heights down the outside with Morda Gain going through the middle. It's Hetty Heights, Morda Gain. Wild and Famous has got the run now. Hetty Heights, Morda Gain, Wild and Famous. Wild and Famous, big day for Bowman. Wild and Famous won it. Second, I'm not sure here. Hetty Heights, Mord again, and Most Exalted flew home at the end. It's right in it.
Yeah, so I wrote down that Wild and Famous had won that race on my form guide here. We got this coming in from, who we got there? Nick from Sawtill. Hey, boys, can you please explain to me what happened in race 8 at Rose Hill yesterday? I was on Wild and Famous. I'm extremely happy with the win, and I checked the tab account 20 minutes later. No money.
Oh, there's nothing worse than that, too.
That is bad. So
you spend it in your head. You're thinking, oh, we can do that, and then you go.
I'm going to have this on the last, and then you're thinking, where can we go afterwards? All of that sort of thing starts running through your mind as well. So just to let you know, beaten in the stewards room, if you have a look at the replay, I think it's a fair decision.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's just, he's now got a bit of a holiday, Hugh, but he won't be too worried about that.
Going for a trek over Kakoa. I think he'll accept the 7 races, 7 meetings, no problem. So Most Exalted winning there. And we're going to speak to Andrew Adkins later on in the program as well.
And the last, well, Corey Brown had a day out. And James Cummings, look, he had a big win there in Adelaide yesterday. James winning a listed race, and he wins the last with Philosophy.
Girl Sunday, ridden with a sit today, long time ago. Hayward starting to get itchy fingers, and he pulls out 3 wide. Girl Sunday, 4th on the rails, further back to Awoke, making hard work of it. And Philosophy's got plenty of room to sprint through into the straight. Reby Rampart in front, Girl Sunday up the fence, but Philosophy's chiming in nicely. And Awoke coming down the outside at the 200. It's Philosophy in front from Awoke, is issuing the challenge the outside. Philosophy and Awoke, they're wide apart. Philosophy's kicking from Awoke. Winding up late as Allura. Philosophy in front from Awoke, and Philosophy wins the last. It beat Awoke. Third of photo there between Allura and Wang Wa. Then came Long.
Beautifully positioned by Corey Brown, just onto the straight, folded out into the space, and far too good Philosophy. So well done, James Cummings. How's the. You've been away too a little bit. I'm just thinking James Cummings at Godolphin and.
Early
the
days.
Transition.
But I think, yeah, I mean, look, we saw a good win for them yesterday in Adelaide with a horse on the up, and I think they're going to have a big spring. I mean, you'd expect them to have a big spring. He's got 27 Ferraris out there at Warwick Farm, and they'll place them to perfection.
Yeah. This is an SMS that's come in. What about the Hotel Queanbeyan's number one employee, the coal train last night?
Yes.
Human wrecking ball. Is there a slight hope for the Green Machine for 8th spot?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great show, lads. People's Public and Queanbeyan still bleeding green. Yeah, plenty of Canberra supporters out there would have been buoyed by that. So if we have a look at the table, they're not far away, are they? They are 2 points behind a couple of teams there in 4 points behind
Dragons, Panthers. Dragons in trouble. 13-53-53. A break and back with Kim Moore.
Mum, I've got big news.
I know.
60 months interest-free, no deposit on any purchase over $1,500 at Bingley.
Yep.
So it's the perfect time to buy a new TV or fridge or washer or even a new oven.
Sure is.
60 months interest-free for a limited time only at Bingley.
That's right.
Why do you always get the last word?
Because you talk first.
Credit provided by HSBC Bank. Terms, conditions, fees, charges and lending criteria apply. Offer valid until July 30, 2017. Details in-store. Australian Credit Licence 232595.
I got 50,000, but I got
50,000. Enter your rising 2-year-olds now in the select English Ready to Race sale at Oaklands, Melbourne. There's no passing commission and entries close Friday, August 4. Details and entry forms, see English.com.au.
It's English and Fellsweep fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Just to let you know, our talk topic for today, of course, is fill-ins.
Yes.
Dave Stanley filling in for Ray Thomas over the next couple of weeks, which are looking forward to that one. You get this. G'day, guys. Great fill-ins. Should have been for longer. Darren Beedman for Godolphin.
Great fill-in.
Did remember nothing wrong, did he?
Well, I remember that that Friday afternoon at Scone with Duke of Valentino getting the Scone Cup, and he had a brilliant tenure while he was there, and just a great bloke, absolute great bloke.
Handyman from French's Forest says, Mike Whitney, carpe diem, which is Latin for seize the day. Mike Whitney, yeah, when Whitney filled in on an Ashes tour in 1981. He was over there playing county cricket, and he ended up just playing a couple of games for Australia.
Who Dares Wins. Remember Who Dares Wins in the shops? That was the best show on television.
Oh, come on.
Well, they used to
Hang
go
on,
down...
He's an international cricketer, and you're saying his finest hour is Who Dares Wins.
He'd go down the Kmart, and he'd be there, and outstanding.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what was outstanding yesterday was the performance of Shiraz.
Yes.
Excellent work, and Kim Moore would have been very happy with the performance of a horse that's can be a little bit cranky at times. Kim's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Kim.
Good morning. How are you?
Really well. Thanks very much for joining us. We do appreciate that. Well done on, well, a couple of wins, but let's start with Shiraz. And it was just a case of this horse that had so much bad luck. Kim finally got something go his way.
Yeah, it was lovely to see. This preparation, look, he's been going fantastic, but just drawing, tricky barriers and wide barriers. And a lot of times that's just the difference between winning and losing. And he's had a few issues. He pulled a shoe off about 6 weeks ago and took, half of his hoof with it. So we had to equilox it, and that, he was a little bit sore with that for a little while. And then when his last start, he pulled that same shoe off again. So he pulled all the equilox off again, and he pulled up a little bit scratchy after that. So he's been a bit of a problem child the last couple of months.
I tell you why he won yesterday, Kim. Because I've followed him since the eyeliner, and I've been spruiking you, and then yesterday I fell off, and he launches. Is he genuinely a day-to-day prospect? Because you just don't know, not only what's sort of up in the brain, but just with his feet. Can you lock in a long-term plan, or do you just have to sort of float and see how it goes?
No. Well, he's never had feet problems. It's just when that happened, he just happened to pull half of his hoof off when he pulled the shoe off, and it's been an ongoing problem. But before, like that happened about 6 weeks ago, before that, he never had feet issues. He can get a bit sore in the heels. That's about it. So, he's a pretty sound horse, very cranky horse. He's not the friendliest horse in the world, but he tries really hard. And I just thought from that beautiful barrier yesterday, and I thought it'd be really hard to beat, but I just thought, surely we just need a change of luck with this one.
Jason Collett made an interesting point after the race, Kim, and that is that you've got to save him up for one run. He's got one run in his. How did you and Jason work on that?
Well, I think the main thing is he has got a great turn of foot, and I'm sure most people would have seen that over the years with him. But you just can't use him early. If you do, he just hasn't got the same finish. And that's how he's been ridden a lot over the years, just a bit quite early, and he really shows that turn of foot. So from that beautiful barrier yesterday, he, you know, I said to Jace, just don't let him do any work early.
Mm.
There didn't look like a lot of early pace, so he just jumped out and grabbed him and sat on him, and he ended up in that running fourth on the fence, just cruising along, which was really perfect.
Big day for the stable yesterday, of course. Oxford Poet, too good there in Queensland. And you must have been proud of King Viv, who, I am talking through my pocket, was set a bit of a task, wasn't he, Kim?
He was. Totally ridden a little bit different to
yes.
what I was expecting and what we ever ride him, because he's been a tricky horse, got a lot of ability, but we've had to teach him to settle. So his whole career we've been riding him quite, because he wanted to do it all upside down.
Mm.
And I had a chat with Jeff yesterday morning, Jeff Lloyd, and said, just don't dig him early. You know, this has been a long progress, long program this with him, and he's still learning. Just tuck him in where you can, and he'll finish off really well. He'll be very hard to beat. Anyway, that plan went out the window after they jumped out of the barrier.
On that, Kim, though, you must be proud that with his effort, because he didn't shirk the task at all down the straight. I mean, look, I'm not going to... He can go a long way, this horse. He can win a lot of races.
He can, and he's got a lot of ability. He's taking a long time to get his head around it. He's a beautiful horse, but he's a bit of a thick head. That you know, he's just slow maturing mentally. You know, big, strong-looking horse, but I think this time next year he could be going to good races. I really like him. Had a really good opinion of him all the way along. But we've just got to keep him settling well, because he's going to get over quite a bit of ground.
Was Mark involved in the naming of King Viv at all, Kim?
Yeah, he was. I'll give him that one. He likes to claim them all, but...
Fair enough. Hey, we haven't spoken about Oxford Poet. Didn't lead yesterday. He was really attacked at the front there, but showed a real fighting quality too.
Yeah, he's such a tough old horse. And I spoke to Damien Brown in the morning, and I just know up there in Queensland, a lot of times the pace is hot, even when you don't think it's going to be.
Right.
And it didn't look like a lot of pace on paper, but I said to Damien, just be positive early, but if they take you on, don't go with them, you know?
Yeah.
You just do your own thing. And he couldn't have rode him any better. He rode him beautiful. And he's just such a gutsy horse, because, as you know, he's got that navicular disease in his feet. And he's had that since a young horse, but he never gives up. If something comes at him, he fights to the finish.
Yeah, well, he did that yesterday with great success. Stable's flying, Kim. Ray Thomas is not on the program, and you still came on it, so we are doubly pleased for you.
But Ray texted me last night from New York.
He did not.
He did, and I got it this morning, and I said, and he said, hey, guys, just saw, you know, Shiraz won, and we're in the bar having a drink for you.
He's too good. He is the best.
I think he's having a great time.
And he deserves it too, he and Tanya over there. They were last seen on Facebook in the City of Love.
I know.
Paris.
Oh.
So maybe a few Shirazes themselves.
Well, I can tell you they're in New York at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, we're all jealous sitting here at French's Forest. But anyway.
So am I.
Yeah, exactly.
Sitting here in my barn.
At least you're training winners, Kim.
That's true.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Kim Wall there. A win with Oxford Poet up in Doomben, a win with Shiraz yesterday.
King Viv should have won.
King Viv
Should have won.
So there you go, talking through his kick again. Dave Stanley.
Watch the replay in the news break.
All right, well, I'll tell you what we've got now. It's a very important part of the program, and that is the scratchings for today's race meetings around New South Wales.
Right.
So we've got the Sapphire Coast and Tamworth. You're going to go through that. After that point, Ray Thomas generally gives us a tip or two, and I hate to put any pressure on you, David. His tips have been outstanding over the course of the last, 18 months on a Sunday morning.
Right. So. Well, don't expect anything flash from me. Anyway, we'll do our best. We're going to start with the scratchings today at Tamworth. Sunday the 30th of July. The rail is true, weather fine, and the track rating is a soft 6. Race 1, take out 1, Press Reset. Number 4, Upesi. Number 7, Swears Island. Number 9, I Am Twisted. and the 18, which was an emergency, the little man. So race one, numbers 1, 4, 7, 9, 18, all scratched. Race two, scratchings are 2, Naya, 5, this is going to be interesting with these names. But
take your time.
Dodongi, I think, that's number 5. The 6, Double Gaze, I've been stitched up here. The 8, My Love Is. 14, Sure Not Shezza. And the 17, the Emergency Night Quest. So on race 2, take out 2, 5, 6, 8, 14 and 17. In race 4, just 1 scratching, Fairy Fragments. The 9, scratch from race 4. In race 5, take out number 5, Kapoku. Number 7, Collins Street. And number 17, Sterling Shadow. So race 5, it's 5, 7, 17. Race 6, take out number 4, Rastafarian. Number 16, Time's Up. Number 17, Gravity Force. And number 18, Split the Atom. So from race 6, take out 4, 16, and 17, and 18. And in race 7, take out 9, More Than Art. Race 10, Surely Not. And race 13, Split the Atom. So race 7 at Tamworth today, take out 9, 10 and 13. At the Sapphire Coast, racing today. Now, the rail is 5 metres from, plus 5 metres from the 800 to the 300, then a cutaway, true the remainder. Petrometer is 3.5. Weather fine, track rating is a good 4. Not as many scratchings at Sapphire Coast today. Firstly, race 1, Invincible Dream, take out number 8. Number 9, Junama, is your other scratching. So race 1, numbers 8 and 9. Second race, take out Poets Dash, number 2. So race 2, number 2, scratched. Then race 3, all clear. Race 4, we've got scratchings 3, 6 and 14. Number 3, Snip the Mo. Number 6, Divine Strike. And number 14, Banjar Luka. So 3, 6, 14 from race 4. And in race 5, take out the 4, Liquid Dina. And the 9, Clear Sailing. So 4 and 9 from race number 5. And my tip today...
And just to be fair on you too, Ray does that. Of course, Tanya does the scratchings and Ray does his tip. So we've actually asked you to do two things today. So it's like walk and chew gum
okay.
at the same time. So we appreciate the level of difficulty that you're facing right now.
Well, I'm going to... Look.
Can you tip the listeners into something?
I probably can. I can probably tell you one maybe to put a line through. And I know that's I shouldn't be saying that about my own horse, but...
Oh, you've got one in today.
Yeah, I've got a share in one today racing at Tamworth. It's race number 2, horse number 3, I'm in stitches. Look, I'd love her to win. I'd love her to win. Serge Lindsay on, Christy Buchanan. She's doing everything right at home.
Right.
But I just don't... I'm not sold on her yet. I'm not sold on her yet.
So what you've given us there...
She's a mystic owner. So
what you've given the listeners there is something not to tip. So could you actually give us something to tip?
Put it this way. I'll be backing it. I'll be backing it myself. So there's a tip for the listeners. So
what it's done there is create in race 2 at Tamworth something to bet around.
Yes, 100%. So you know what I'm investing on. So you'll say, right, Stanley's on this, so we'll stay away.
1353-53, the open line number. Before we get to that, a tweet here from BK. Brett. Fill-ins, Tom Brady replaces injured quarterback Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Early in 2001-2 NFL season, goes on to 5 Super Bowl wins for the Patriots. That sort of worked out okay. That worked out okay. Let's go to the open line. Dougie's there. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, boys. How are you?
Hello, mate.
Not bad. I just want to talk about James Roberts.
Yeah.
He'd be good for the Origin match next year, mate.
If he continues his level of improvement, and if we believe what we've heard during the week when he re-signed with the Broncos and that the things that happen off the field have been cleared up for James Roberts, then I think the sky is the limit for a bloke with his talent.
Yeah, and I know another one called Shane Warne took the hat trick for Australia, the spin bowler.
Shane Warne?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a
fill-in
bowler too. Yeah.
Hang on, you're saying he's a fill-in, Warney?
Yeah.
All right, Dougie, I can't go with you. I can't go with you on that one, Dougie. I usually go with you on everything, Dougie.
Okay, son.
No worries, mate. All right, you give us a call next week. 1353-53, the open line number. I don't believe Warney was a fill-in just in the middle of his, 140-odd test matches.
But he's starting. Is he saying that when he started he was... But I guess that's not a fill-in.
He got the hat-trick against England in the... Was it the 95 Ashes... 94-95 yeah. Ashes series? And he'd started in 1991 or 92. 91-92 season against India at the SCG.
What a life. I know we talk about it all the time when you mention Warney, but just to have that ability on the to play cricket like that, and then have that other life of just, you know,
being worn
party.
Hang on, what? Look at the lifestyle that you lead. For no discernible skill, you know, like at least Warnie could bowl leg spinners and drop them on a 5 cent piece.
Unbelievable.
You've been freak. You know, you're all over travelling globally. You get to go to the races every day. You have to tip people into a few winners, and that's your life.
It is a good life, isn't it? A bit blessed.
You are the Shane Warne of Sky Sports Radio.
Only one small fragment of Shane's life, unfortunately.
There you go. News time now. Peter Peters coming up. You're listening to Jimmy and Shane on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Shorten has vowed to take steps to make Australia a republic in his first term as Prime Minister, saying our current head of state is a foreign power. At the Australian Republic Movement's gala dinner in Melbourne last night, he pointed to the words Carpe Diem on the ceiling of Melbourne's Royal Exhibition Building. We must seize the day and become a republic, he told the cheering crowd. It has been a quarter of a century since the Queen told former Prime Minister Paul Keating that she would respect the decision of the Australian people to become a republic. Victorian Labor MP Khalil Eady, who was refused entry to the United States while on official parliamentary business, has returned to Melbourne. Mr. Eady, who was born in Lebanon to Syrian parents, says he's been discriminated against and was given no real reason from US officials on why they barred his entry.
To me, it's unacceptable because, you know, so I'm representing the Australian people, the Victorian people, you know, so through our parliament, you know, so we've got a job to do, and, you know, so just, you know, it's a very important committee, you know, so we're involved in.
Two of the three men who escaped from the Beechworth Minimum Security Prison in regional Victoria have been recaptured. 34-year-old Jeffrey Pennell was arrested around 9:45 last night in Warrnambool after Tuesday's escape. 25-year-old Billy Sperling was caught Thursday night in Geelong. 27-year-old Thomas Smith remains at large. Smith is serving time for traffic, property, drug and damage-related offences, and police say he may be travelling in a stolen blue 1988 Mercedes sedan, registration 1G13. BT. Threadbow landslide survivor Stuart Diver has marked 20 years since the tragedy with a commemorative flare run in the Alpine Village. Mr. Diver and 300 skiers and snowboarders blazed down Threadbow's super trail with red flares last night in memory of the 18 people who died, including his wife. The procession was followed by a fireworks display in what Threadbow Resort described as a fitting commemoration for a group of people who loved the mountains and Threadbow. A church service will be held today. North Korea claims its latest test of an intercontinental ballistic missile proves that it now has the ability to strike any target across the United States. Most experts agree that most continental U.S. cities are within range. John Everard, a former British ambassador to North Korea, says the Pentagon was taken aback by the speed at which North Korea has improved its missiles.
The Directorate of Intelligence has now compressed the timescale by which they think North Korea will have the capacity to deliver a plausible nuclear device to an American city from 3 years down to probably less than one, so the threat could be very real next year.
A driver who was attempting to U-turn on a New South Wales highway has died after his car was involved in a crash near the town of Kumiala on the New South Wales-Victoria border. The man's Ford Falcon sedan was hit by a Holden Commodore sedan on the Silver City Highway near Tallawalla Road around 7:30 last night. The four occupants of the Ford and the driver of the Commodore were taken to Mildura Base Hospital, where the 55-year-old driver of the Ford died from his injuries. The 77-year-old driver of the Commodore has suspected fractured ribs and remains in a stable condition. This is Air News. Supercars Championship leader Scott McLaughlin believes Lucas Dumbrell Motorsport needs to improve its communication with drivers after a near miss during qualifying at Queensland Raceway. McLaughlin was on a flying lap late in the 15-minute session yesterday when most of the field was returning to the 3.12-kilometre circuit from pit lane. The DJR Team Penske driver managed to pass most of the field safely but was forced to abort his lap when Alex Davison's Holden weaved in front of his Ford. McLaughlin still snared pole position for an earlier lap time en route to his sixth win of the season. North Queensland coach Paul Green hasn't given up hope of finishing in the all-important NRL top four despite throwing away a golden opportunity against the Sydney Roosters. The Cowboys missed their shot at leapfrogging both the Roosters and Brisbane into the top quarter of the ladder by blowing a 12-point lead last night. Instead, they could fall back to sixth by the end of the round. However, Green insists the remaining five matches of the regular season offer enough time to move up the standings. Richmond Tigers did what they had to do against an injury-hit Gold Coast at Metricon Stadium last night, winning by 33 points to jump back into fourth on the AFL ladder. Hardwick's side had been overtaken by Port Adelaide, who pinched a win at the death against St Kilda to briefly sit in the top four on percentage prior to their 14-14-98 to 10-5-65 win. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Sauvignon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Oz Design Furniture's stock take sale has been extended with up to 50% off furniture and homewares. Ends tomorrow. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au for store locations or shop online. If you're off to the airport, give yourself a little extra time. It's heavy on Marsh Street and Airport Drive approaching the International Terminal right now. The M5 East still fairly clear. Looking at the coast, approaches to the major beaches north and south appear to be moving well for now. We've got a clear run on the Eastern Distributor, Gore Hill Freeway, Parramatta Road and Pacific Highway. The new reinvented Hyundai i30 has been named the small car benchmark. It's in dealerships now, so visit hyundai.com.au to book a test drive before July ends. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, half time at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
And the weather in Sydney today, partly cloudy, winds northerly, 20 to 30 kilometres turning northwesterly, 25 to 40 during the morning, and then tending north to northwesterly, 15 to 25 in the evening, a maximum of 26. Now, what is the weather in Bronte?
Bronte,
Jimmy?
Yeah, I'll give you the weather in Bronte. Right now, 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning, it's 18 degrees. How nice is that?
Beautiful.
It's going to get to a maximum of 26 degrees. And where else did you want
Bega.
To go?
Bega.
Well,
it was Bega.
Bega.
Is that Bega cheese there? That is, isn't
yes, yeah,
it?
Yes, yeah. You're spot on. Yep. Yeah. We used to holiday down at Naruma. So we went to the Bega cheese just the once. Done that, right? We were there in Naruma. We're in Naruma for a decade, for 2 weeks, every year, for a decade. And we went to Bega once. But tick.
Tick. That's done.
Done. Partly cloudy today at Bega, 23 degrees.
For the past 6 years, Slats and I have told you about the exotic delights of Hong Kong. Now here's your chance to sample the sights and sounds of one of the world's truly great weeks of racing with Ambassador Travel. And do it in five-star style. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday. And on Sunday, you're off to Sha Tin for four Group 1s in the climax of the Turf World Championships. In between, you can shop, cruise the harbour, head to Macau, play golf at Mission Hills, or just relax. Why not extend and take in mainland China? Call Ambassador Travel right now. 1-800-777-989 or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It's Dave and Jimmy all the way up to 10 o'clock. We're 1 hour in. How do you think, Dave? You enjoying
Mate, this
it?
This is a great gig. You blokes are flying, you know. You get here to come in the morning, got all the television, all the sport and good guests and plenty of people listening. I'm loving it, mate.
Well, we've got a big hour coming up to Zorba very shortly. Andrew Adkins, the apprentice jockey who won the premiership yesterday and had a win against Hugh Bowman in the stewards room. Corey Brown, a couple of wins for him yesterday. Dean Bulldog Ritchie, the ZNZ quiz, and, of course, your calls. Our talk topic today is great fill-ins. Mm-hmm. So we've had a number of, say, Jimmy and Dave. I think Doug didn't understand the concept of fill-in. Warney took his hat-trick in his 31st test. That comes from Tom. Thank you, Tom. Best fillings. Cam Munster filling in for JT, Origin 3, man of the match. That's from Steve. Yeah, good one. Morning, boys. Doing a great job as usual. Dave sounding great. On today's subject, what about Marcus Labuschagne? Subbing at the Gabba and taking that outstanding catch at
That's
short
right.
leg. EJ.
That's right.
Good pick up, EJ.
Yeah.
We might send EJ out. We'll get EJ's details and send him out some CDs courtesy of Sony Music, just to let you know, for the best contribution for throughout the course of the day, you get the double pass to the VMAX.
Well, Anthony's winning that by a mile. He rang earlier today and said, Dave, best on ground. So, Anthony, those VMAX, they're in front of me at the moment, and they've got your name written on them.
Okay, so we'll both make that decision, and let me assure you, Anthony, you're hundreds. Morning, gents. After 2 years in the UK, Alan Langer, fill-in for the last game of the 2001 State of Origin Series, has to go close today. Not only did he lead them to a win in Brizzy, he had the cheek to score a try too. Mitch from Tamworth, good one. Mitch, more CDs. CDs going to Mitch from Tamworth as well, producer Jeremy, so we'll get those sending out. This bloke doesn't need CDs. Tell you what he needs today, though. He needs a win for his Seagulls to keep some momentum going after that game last week. I couldn't believe the scoreline when I read it. He'll have to explain it to me. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. I wish I could explain it. Morning, Dave. And don't get too tied up with the early starts. You do it for about 5 years and tell me if you still like it.
Of course, you did that, didn't you, Zorb?
Oh, a lot longer than that.
Was it? Yeah, okay. Yeah, back in, when was that, 90s?
I started there in 1991, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And on and off through right through till mid-2000s, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's have a look at this ladder, the way it's going to be a fascinating run to the finals, Zorb. We've got the Eels.
Well, there's no way 28 points is going to get you there, right?
No, agree.
Okay. I did all my figures last night, and I've come up with this. Forget the Raiders. They're not going to be there. The top three sides won't change. They might change in an order in the top three, Melbourne, Roosters, Sharks.
Yep.
But then I'll come up with a dogfight between Parramatta and Brisbane for fourth spot. The Parramatta Eels have snuck up on a lot of people. They're currently sixth on 28, but they play the Dogs, the Knights, the Titans, all at home. The Broncos away, who they just beat, and then they finish with the Rabbitohs. They could finish really on 36 points. Now, who would have believed that?
Yeah.
And they can go into the finals, would you believe, if they win every game and they have to beat the Broncos in round 25. That's going to be the decider. They can have a 10-match winning streak going in. Just food for thought. The Broncos, they're currently on 28 points with Parramatta. I reckon they'll finish 34-36, and they've got a fairly good draw. They play the Titans away, the Sharks at home, the Dragons at home, the Eels at home, Cowboys away. So, you know, they're not top four, home and hosed, like everyone thinks they are.
No, all right,
so then we go to the other end of it.
Yeah, okay, let's get to this part.
Okay, I reckon the Dragons, the Penrith Panthers, the Manly Sea Eagles can finish on 30-32 points each. The Cowboys, who got beaten last night by a very good Roosters side, I reckon they could be the side to miss out. I'll tell you why.
Whoa.
They've got the Storm, the Penrith Panthers away, the Sharks at home in the next 3 weeks. Then they front up against the Tigers, which is a must-win for them to even get the 30 points, and then they finish with the Broncos at home. Hippy, hippy shakes. No Jason, no Thurston, gone for mine.
Yeah,
they're the
side
that'll miss out, I reckon.
There you go.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Zorb. That Parramatta, on Friday, I mentioned on the Big Sports Breakfast, they were $5 to make the top four, and that was being taken by nearly every man and their dog.
Yeah, right.
It was very, very popular. So I reckon a lot of people have done the same sums that you've done.
Well, what a great game. What a great, great game, Brisbane-Para. Intense, brilliant, emotional, exciting. 12-0 down, came back, and the Broncos scored two more points. Would you believe it? What a great mid-season by Mitchell Moses. Three try assists, hat full of goals. He's helped make that side. No Gutherson, but they didn't miss him.
You know what the interesting thing out of that? I was talking to someone yesterday. I didn't see the game, just saw highlights. One missed tackle, Mitchell Moses.
Yeah, well, look, he's got a very good, strong player on that right side with him in defence. In of course the very experienced centre three quarter who's just been everywhere and he's played in premiership winning sides. So you know when you've got someone like Michael Jennings beside you in defence, he can lead you around, and that's what he's doing with young Moses. But look, they're a tough side. I didn't like that that Kenny Edwards shoulder charge ahead of Jonas Pierce on the ground. I want to ask this question. He got fined $1,100 for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a shocking record.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a $60,000 fine hanging over his head for behavioural issues. What's worse, what he did to Jonas Pearson on the ground or Darcy Lussick's hair-pulling episode on Aaron Woods? Lussick got fined $3,300. $1,100, I know what's worse.
What did he get? What did he get? Because if you're lying on the ground, yeah, it's a cheap shot. I won't call it a cheap shot. But you're allowed to hit someone as hard as you like.
Yeah.
But did he get fined for hitting the bloke in the head, Pearson? Or was it because he just hit him hard on the ground?
Well, he claims that he didn't see the high shot. And all I know is what I saw. And I thought it was uncalled for. And I thought the punishment should have been greater than that.
What's with this fine stuff, though? Surely time away from the game would be more of a deterrent than
we've brought in the fines because of the big games where they can miss for incidental incidents.
We're just talking about Parramatta possibly making top four.
Yeah.
We know that Kenny is probably not a vital part of Brad's plan, but he needs to be there for them to perform. And surely that would be... I mean, nothing sort of happens, apart from a bit of a...
No, they get a fine, and the it'll be tracked against their name too, so that'll come back to bite them
later. The fine should be heavier.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to fine someone, $1,100 for that, that's nothing.
Yeah. Righto, Cam Smith, just the 350th NRL game he'll be playing today, Zorba?
Playing the Seagulls. What a great occasion for him to join Kerry Lamb on 350, bar, you know, the drover's dog, I used to call him, because he backed up the centre of the field all day, every day, 80 minutes per game. Great player. Cam Smith goes level with him, and then he's only five behind Darren Lockyer. He's already got most points, most wins. Just a great player who I think should be made an immortal while he's still playing. That's how good I think he is and what he means to the game. I wish he could have waited another week. Had a nice week off and got his pec injury or whatever it is, right?
Can I propose this to you?
Mm-hmm.
They're out in front, Melbourne Storm. They need to win today. That, you know, they'll make the top four. They'll make the top two, so they'll get a home semi-final, you would have thought. If Cameron Smith, he needs time off for that sternum injury. The Dally M comes into play here too. Like, you just wonder whether Craig Bellamy said to him, mate, have a week off. You need a week off.
I think he's that sort of character, that he loves his record. He loves the fact that he leads this side.
Yeah.
He'll just do what he has to do out there today. Look, Manly are desperate. They need to get back on the bike after last weekend's shocker. I did know once I saw the side that they probably would struggle. Perennially, they struggle against the Dragons. I don't know why. They've got a shocking record against them. And it all came to fruit. I thought they fought back well last week after being down by 30-0 at halftime to get within, you know, eight, and then it all went. But I think with the return today of this their little hooker, Appy Corrissau, he'll tighten up that middle of the ruck. And his return, along with Brenton Lawrence's and particularly Blake Green's, I think it'll be a great game. No Billy Slater, but Cameron Munster's playing fantastic, fantastic football. Can I talk about the NRL Commission?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask? I think this is going back to the bad old days of New South Wales versus Queensland. I mean, who chose the Honourable Peter Beattie AC?
Mm.
And who chose Professor Megan Davis, who's a constitutional lawyer, grew up in country Queensland, and obviously both eminent people. But who chooses these people to go on the NRL Commission, which is an independent commission?
Yes.
To my mind, we're going back to New South Wales, Queensland. How do you guys see it?
Yeah, well, it happened when I was away. So to me, and I'm not, you know, people will say why you say these things, but a bloke like Peter Volandis, who is prepared to try things, is not afraid of failure, has a very much an eye on the bottom line. How he is not the next best candidate or a guy who would be a perfect fit for that commission, then I don't know anyone else who would be better.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mm. I agree with you. But it's just the manner in which it was done. I mean, it was supposedly there for everyone to know about, but they just announced it.
So what do you
say? I just wonder what the clubs feel. I mean, the clubs, let's not forget The 16 clubs own the game. And that's what we've got to look at. And do they get a say? Are they happy with it?
Well, don't they want their own two representatives on there anyway? Aren't they looking for an extension of the independent commission? And by the way, New South Wales Rugby League and Queensland Rugby League want representation on there as well.
Yeah. It's not what it was set up for. I know that, and there's a bit of a worry with that. I'm a bit dumbfounded by it all.
Yeah. Zorb, before we get to your Zappa, Siasiwa Taukeiaho, if he doesn't make the New Zealand side for the World Cup, they're not watching.
Wow, what a performance. 200 metres, 7 tackle breaks, just unstoppable.
Yeah.
He was sensational. Unbelievable, really. And I thought that he took it to, and to see him versus Tamalolo last night, God, was on for one, young and old, wasn't it? It was just incredible stuff. Just quickly, is anyone else concerned, or is it just me? I have been for some time now. Too many yellow shirts on the field, too many blue shirts on the field. We nearly saw a disaster over in Auckland the other day when Steve Price raced across the field and had to really show his old playing day skills to miss a rampant Solomon Carter on his way to a runaway try. Carter would have cleaned him up. He'd still be in Auckland Hospital, Steve Price, if he collected him. I'm getting a bit sick of all of the officials and assistant coaches and people running on the field. So Alfie's the worst with his little water bottle, which I don't think he's got even any water in it.
Yes.
It's just becoming a joke. Keep them off the field. The players know what they've got to do. All these messages, and it just spoils the spectacle.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's get your Zapper.
Okay, I'm confident today. What's the start, Manly?
You're confident every day. 5.5.
No. 5.5?
Yeah.
Okay, Manly with a start and Titans to cover the start, and go for it.
They have backed Manly pretty well at that even money, I can tell you, with Tab. Very well.
All right, okay. So Manly plus 5.5, Titans minus 9.5, so you're looking at $2 into $1.90 for your Zapper this week. All right, how'd you go last week?
Pardon?
Must have lost.
Hayne the star. He loves playing the West Tigers. Don't know why.
Oh, he does too. This is his house, apparently.
Yeah, his house, and I think they've beaten them last 4 times, so they'll make it 5 today.
There you go. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak next
week. Thank you, mate.
See you, boys.
There he is, Peter Peters, with his thoughts on the game of rugby league. We'll take your thoughts on that. So there you go, Peter Beattie onto the independent commission. I don't know Megan. Oh, Peter Beattie.
Very good. And he's doing good things with that Commonwealth Games up there at the coast. But it is interesting
to hear. That's the Queenslander coming out in you, too.
No, well,
so we can't look past these state borders.
I agree with what Zorba just said. I think the clubs, you know, they own the game. They should be having a say with decisions.
They should have a say, but just not too much.
Yeah.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
Hi, I'm Susie from Delicious Dairies. We're proud to give back to the community by not only supporting our farmers, but by hiring people from Nova Employment who wouldn't necessarily get a chance. They are valued members of our business.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new Westinghouse, Hitachi and Beko fridges ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We'll take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new Hitachi, Beko or Westinghouse fridge from Bingley and get free full service delivery.
You know when that beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon, so be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Guys, whether it's directly or indirectly, all of us have been impacted by cancer. Here's an easy way you can make a difference.
Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. They're aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians.
But we need more blokes. So if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up at abcstudy.com.au. It can be done from home and in your own time.
It's all about investigating the causes of cancer and other diseases. The Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. Get on board today at abcstudy.com.au.
Your business premises really needs a fresh fit out, but the bank says no.
You need to move fast, but they still say no.
You haven't got time for paperwork, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man? The man from Mazda.
Yep.
You were just going to say yes to anything I said then in the driver.
This is the place where you can go and get the free cafe I mentioned during the week.
Yeah, Zoom Cafe. Yeah. Penrith Mazda. 300 new cars in stock. Over 5 acres. Well, I'm telling you, exclusively. 6 acres out there for Penrith Mazda. The BT50 Ute Centre has over 50 utes on display. Let me let them package you a great deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat.
So you'd need a feed after the 5 acres, wouldn't you?
Cafe Zoom. Boy. Short black, please. Yep. And a sandwich. While your car is serviced. See the Mazda experts today. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. They're family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road at Penrith, MD18808.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast, 8:25 on your Sunday morning. And joining us now is a young bloke who I reckon would be on top of the world. He's won the Apprentice Premiership for this 16-17 season in Sydney Town. I speak of Andrew Atkins. Good morning, Randall.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Very well. Where's Randall come from, Andrew?
I'm from Port Macquarie.
Oh, no, he's from Port Macquarie. No, that's where he's... No, he wants to know the nickname.
No, where's
Randall.
The nickname come from?
Randall.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the boys back home, one of the jockeys back home, Jason Watkins, started calling me that, and it's just sort of followed me along the way.
It's followed him, Randall.
Stuck.
Sounds like you can't actually tell us why, Randall, and that's fine, Andrew. That's fine.
There's no actual reason why. Andy started as Andy Randy and then Randall Randy.
And the first time I met, everyone was just saying, oh, you know, Randy and Randall. So I actually thought his name was Randall. And then someone said, no, it's actually Andrew, mate. And I thought, oh, geez, spell David. Mate, a big performance for this season. Did you think when the season was starting that this goal could be achieved?
Look, it was always going to be tough. And it was one of my goals throughout my career when I did move to Sydney, and it was always going to be, hard to do, and it was going to take a bit of hard work and dedication and a bit of time to get there, but it was able to be accomplished, but it was going to be hard work.
Well, you did something that many have done yesterday, actually. You beat Huey Bowman, had to go to the stewards' room to do it. Yes. How's that for a young bloke, Andrew? Pretty nerve-wracking experience?
Yeah, it can be. Look, I've sort of been riding for about four years now, so it's sort of you've had enough experience, but look, it can be at times. You've got your cameras and microphones in front of your face, and it can be a big crowd in there sometimes and a little bit daunting. But if you can keep your cool and speak your piece, you always come out pretty well, and the result that you hope for anyway.
Well, I like your confidence. Most Exalted flashed home, wild and famous across the line first, but you said, look, if I don't get the interference there, I win by 2 lengths. And I think it's going to be easy for you to say, Andrew, but looking at it objectively, it looked like they got the right decision.
Yeah, I think they definitely did. I did get a nice check at about the 200 metres, and while wild and famous skipped away by probably 2 to 3 lengths, and... I was sort of still going backwards and trying to get around the horses, and to flash home and only be beaten half a length. It was pretty good performance on my horse. And like I said, if that interference didn't happen, I definitely think I held the race for sure.
Andy, I've got to mention, Ron Quinton, obviously your master, and pretty special for Ron, of course, Hugh Bowman, who was the overall premiership winner. He came through Ron's stable. There was someone watching down from above on you yesterday, and she'd be pretty proud. Margaret, of course, Ron's wife, who passed away this year. And just a special achievement for you all to be involved with that, because the advice and wisdom he must provide you, you can't buy that.
No, you're exactly right. When I was asked to come down to Ron, it was always going to be a pleasure in my my part, you know, obviously from the likes of Sam Clifford and Hugh Bowman and, you know, Mitchell Bell and Bobby Listen, all them guys that have all come through, Ron. Obviously, he does a great job with his apprentices, and when I was able to come here, it was always going to be great for me, but he's a great mentor and a great boss, and, you know, he's probably plays a bit of a father figure on you too, and, you know, it's not only riding skills, it's life skills as well that he can give you. Mm. And, I mean, I've had a great time here, and like you did say, it was a bit of a sad year too at that same time, losing Lake Margaret. Wasn't easy for a period of time, and it's still not now, but I'm sure I had someone helping me over the last couple of months anyway, that's for sure.
Mm. Racing today at Tamworth and the Sapphire Coast. Fair drives if you're going. I can't see you listed for a ride anyway. So if you've got the day off, Andrew, what does that involve for you?
To be honest, I'll be laying around doing absolutely nothing. I'll be sleeping, and I'll probably go down the beach if it's a good day.
You know,
27 degrees.
He lives with Luke Marlowe, yeah. Our race caller.
Oh, yes.
And let me tell you, from going to their residence, that Andrew holds up his end of the bargain with the cleaning and the cooking. Marlowe, a dead set busted, would not get off the couch to do any sort of washing, cleaning or anything.
It's the odd couple.
It's horrendous. I don't know how you live with him, mate.
Well, look, it's hard work. It takes a dedication, to be honest. yeah, I think Stano just nailed it. Dead on the head. Pretty well just likes to lay on his back most of the day. Does absolutely nothing.
Righto, so there might be a bit of washing and a bit of cleaning today, then down to the beach. Sounds like a good way to spend your day off. Andrew, congratulations on the premiership, the win yesterday. I really appreciate you joining us today, and mate, enjoy that day off.
Well done, mate.
Thanks very much, guys. Much appreciated.
There he is, Andrew Adkins, fine young jockey, and that's a great performance for him to win that premiership.
Don't be surprised, just from the journey and the trajectory that he's on,
yes.
That we'll be chatting to him on a Sunday morning. In years to come, and it won't be about winning apprentice. Well, obviously, it won't be about apprentice premierships, but it'll be about Group 1 success.
We'll be chatting to him on a Sunday morning. So the 2 weeks you're here, you've just extended out, have you, in the years to come.
Good morning, Ray.
So
good morning.
What does Ray Thomas know? More to the point, well, I haven't heard anything. Look at producer Jeremy looking at me.
No, well, I'm just presuming that Ray's going to be travelling the world. He'll win a lot of...
Huge privilege to be on the show.
Yeah, huge privilege to be on the show. That's right. That's a sentiment that you should take. Dave Stanley. By the way, I reckon the Edwards, this is coming in from Tiger Bear on Twitter, I reckon the Edwards hit is a dog shot and the rules should be changed. But what rule did he break? Well, that's the point. Did he get fined for hitting the bloke in the head? That's what I want to know. 13:53:53. And just before we go, fill-ins. We're talking fill-ins today, Dave.
Yep.
Sparty has chipped in. When the second Darren got drafted in as a replacement in Bewitched, no one said a word. No. Ripped off. No, that's a very good point, Sparty.
Most say Hong Kong, we say Honkers. Now's your chance to experience a trip of a lifetime. Departing Tuesday, December 5 with Ambassador Travel. World-class racing, 5-star luxury. I guarantee you a Wednesday night you'll never forget. That's racing under lights in Happy Valley. All the action unfolding from the luxury of a corporate box. Catch your breath, it's on again. The big one, the World Championship of Turf at Sharks Inn on Sunday, December 10. Hopefully our best sprinters taking on the rest of the world. There's the shopping, extensions to Beijing or Shanghai, and golf at Mission Hills. Call Ambassador Travel right now. 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
It's international racing at its best.
Lady Aurelia down the centre in the white and green colours. It's going
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week. Live and exclusive on the Sky Racing Network.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century, David.
Yes.
For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So, if you want the official watch of your team, who is your team?
The Dragons.
Or if you want business visa, corporate distinction. Exactly. It's almost funny. If you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, now we know you...
Now, that's a definite turn-up. Please.
Well, you went travelling with...
Just because you go travelling with someone.
Just thought there might have been an announcement in Osaka or something like that.
No.
Yeah? Or if you want to make jewellery remodelled or repaired. See Alan at ZNZ Westfield Herschel or visit znz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. They are the proud sponsors of the St. George Junior Referees.
It's John Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Haddam is surging at them. John Snow in front. John Snow from Harper's Choice's game. John Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Hey, welcome.
Oh.
Tell you what, lack of communication.
Well, I thought I was going then. You said you were pointing at the screen. No. Wasn't it in sync, though?
It was, didn't it? I mean, what are you saying? Ray who? Oh, jeez, you're hard.
Where's Ray?
Who's Ray? What? I mean, where's Ray? Jimmy, don't you listen to Dave during the week? Not often. He's renounced his Queensland roots. Can't stand the place. Regards, Tom.
Oh, look, I'll say it again. Was born there.
Yes.
Got it on the passport. It says South Brisbane.
Right.
However, from a young age, all the family from New South Wales, Dragon supporters.
Mm.
And it was just drilled into me from birth, just support the Dragons and hate Queensland. So, here I am in Sydney Town and I'm loving it.
Great fill-ins. Gary Pratt, subfielding, running out. Ricky Ponting, regards, eagle-eyed Phil.
Yep.
P.S. Alan Langer was a recall, not a fill-in. Oh, hang on, eagle-eyed Phil. I agree with you, Gary Pratt. That's a good pickup. However, don't start dissing other people, other listeners who come up with some good ideas.
What about this one? Dave Stanley, you're doing a great job. Thanks, mate. Best fill-in that's almost work was when Bold Personality was the ring-in horse for Fine Cotton.
That's not bad. That's good. That's good.
Jeez.
High thoughts, Dragons were bad yesterday, but two penalties milked by the Knights, and about 6 weeks ago, the refs called play on when South did it. Badger had a shocker. Should go to OPSM. Jeff from George's Hall. I got to agree with that. I called intra-super premiership games, and you know what? They'd throw the ball into the bloke who's lying in the ruck, and they'd say, play on. And I thought, well, when did they change that rule? Because whenever they used to throw... And then now you go back to Danny Levi yesterday, and it was back to what it was. Lack of consistency.
There were some interesting calls. As a Dragon supporter, I'm talking here through the red and white. Some very interesting calls up there in Newcastle yesterday.
Tim Laffey, no try?
We don't have to talk about it again, but I'm just saying...
Nene McDonald called back, no try.
Yeah, well, how that was a complete stitch up.
1353 53 open line number. Bob's on the line. G'day, Bob.
Good morning. Just with the fill-ins, Zorba mentioned the bloke Terry Lamb. I understand. Was he the only bloke that ever played every game on the Kangaroo tour that he went on?
Very well spotted, Bob. 1986, played every game, 20 games.
Yeah, thought so. No worries, yeah.
Yeah?
Go the Bulldogs hopefully soon.
Bob, you keep Des Hazard for coach next year?
I can't see any problem. I mean, he's not there. The players are the ones that are dropping the ball and playing, you know, bad football. I think he's okay. I've got no problems.
Yeah, all right. There you go. Interesting. Yeah. Get your thoughts on that. Thank you, Bob.
Can I just ask on that Bulldogs,
yes.
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Like, we know that he's only got, what, the cattle he can work with, Des, and all this stuff about his... Where's all their money going? Like, why don't they go and... I know you can't just go and buy a halfback and you can't just go and buy a hooker and whatnot, but it seems that, like, every other team sort of got, you know, young blokes coming through or they've got sort of a spine they can work with, but the Bulldogs, that spine...
It's a very good point you make, because they don't have a halfback in the club. They've got Kieran Foran coming next year. Kieran has made an impassioned plea in today's newspaper to keep Des there. The problem is this. Oh, it's only he's, if you haven't got the cattle. Well, he's been there 5 years, Des. He's had the chance to get the cattle.
Mm.
So you can't blame anyone else for recruitment and retention. Like, the coach owns that.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a year into his reign, then you could say, oh, okay, well, they haven't had a chance to do that. You totally understand that. But that's not the case.
Make sense.
That's not the case. 1353 53, the open line number. G'day, Shane.
Jimmy, Dave, how are you, boys?
Really well, mate.
1999, Jimmy, Melbourne Storm. We lose the current Australian and Origin 5'8 in Scott Hill.
Yes.
We bring a bloke in from the wing that's never played 5'8 in his life, and we go on to beat St George and smash him in the 99 grand final.
Just smash him.
Yeah, thanks for ringing that up again, mate. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Matty Guy, hey?
Matty Guy, what a champion.
Absolutely. I tell you what, there's a bloke who got every ounce out of his ability. Like, he was a representative player. He played a long and distinguished career with the Melbourne Storm. Kicked the goal. Remember when they got the penalty try?
Yeah, thanks
he
again,
still had
Jimmy.
He still had to kick the goal. It was in front, but he still had to kick it.
Good morning to Bill. Bill Harrigan listening. Thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
Beauty. Good on you. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate the call. Dropped out there. 13:53:53. Reg Clough in the 75 grand final. Milkman from Yass. Reg Clough, the Reg Clough story I'm not so familiar with. John Reinberger, definitely. The Reg Clough, I'm looking, he's played, they haven't got a list of how many games he played for the Roosters, but I know John Reinberger played one. That was the 75 grand final, which you'd also appreciate being brought up as well. I think the Dragons played that day, allegedly. 13:53:53. Hello, Gary.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Really well, mate. What do you got for us?
Mate, back in, I think it was 2005 or 2006, Troy Bayliss, he filled in for the other Ducati rider after he'd won the Superbike Championship.
Yeah.
And he won the Valencia race, qualified second, and led start to finish, and beat them all.
Yeah, right. So that's his first race in the 500cc?
No, it was actually the MotoGP.
Oh, the MotoGP.
Yeah, they changed from the 500cc or back in, I can't remember what year that was now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a good feeling. He done well.
You know what, Gary, we don't have a lot of motor racing, but stay on the line, mate, because we're going to send you out a couple of CDs courtesy of Sony Music. So there you go. That was a good one. New caller too.
Yeah.
You always encourage that. See, that might be your impact.
Oh, look, just bringing people out of the woodwork.
Bringing people out of the woodwork. The other one, of course, is I think, you know, we're looking to attract the female audience, and I think you can help in that regard as well.
Go away, Jimbo.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, hi. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello, mate.
Look, I was just wondering, you know, something that really bugs me. You know the Sri Lankan bowler, fast bowler? Mahmood Tajal or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time I watch him play, he seems to chuck the ball rather than bowl it.
Right.
You know, I was just wondering if there was anyone there that had an opinion on it.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't seen his action closely enough to be able to comment. You do realise they're allowed to bowl 15 degrees bent.
Yeah, it just looks like he throws it instead of bowling it.
It is interesting, out of all the cricket teams in the world, the Sri Lankan cricket organisation, or maybe it's just their style of cricket over there, but they seem to have players throughout history that have had these sort of weird-looking... I don't know what they're doing.
That's a good point.
You think about it, like of all the countries, it just seems there's always a Sri Lankan player coming through that's bowling a bit weird. That it's just something we're not used to. Well, obviously we're not.
Yeah, it's just I've been watching cricket all my life, you know, and he just does not look like he bowls it.
Hmm. They've got a lot of technology these days, though. They'd be watching it like a hawk. So he must be doing something legal to the rules.
Yeah.
Well,
just another small thing, you know, which I know you guys talk about it all the time, you know, the whip rule. You know, the other day I won a race, and I heard in the stewards report that the guy, the jockey who won the race, broke the rule.
Yeah.
Now, I had the second place getter.
Yeah.
Now, this jockey broke the rules.
Yep.
And I lost my money.
Yep.
I just could not believe it, you know. Like a rule's a rule, you know, if they break it.
And that's right. What's fair there for the punter? That's a really good question, Phil. And the answer is a pineapple, because what's a hit of the whip worth? How far?
It's
Dave? In length? You know, talking.
What do you mean?
Well, how far is it? You hit it.
Four.
You're allowed to hit them five times, is it?
Yeah, before, it's...
Like,
it's
you know,
it's
what if you hit them seven times? What's the two extra worth?
Is it five before the 100 and then...
The point is, I'm trying to say, it's impossible to determine how much hitting each individual horse is worth. So when you start saying, well, I was on the second horse and they went by the rules.
It's It's a, yeah.
It, you know what it is?
I don't want to.
It's a Pandora's box.
I don't want
to. You know what the best thing to do is? Go to an ad break.
Sky Sports Radio brings you the very best in New South Wales carnival racing.
Malleable's getting through. It's single spirit. Malleable.
Thursday, we're off to Coffs Harbour for the Cup. Before that, catch the Coffs preview at 10.
Thursday on Sky Sports Radio.
It's international racing at its best.
Pakistan Star leading up the ground. Rapid Dragon in front from Pakistan Star. The puzzle now complete. Rapid Dragon takes the derby from Pakistan Star.
Love Asian racing?
We've got you covered with the best action from Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore and Korea across the Sky Racing Network.
Your business can secure some extra stock at a great price, but the banks say no.
You want it in time for a peak sales period, yet they still say no.
You need funds before the deal disappears, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house. And you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Everyone knows a festival is only as good as its lineup, and this year, Volksfest 2017 boasts incredible deals across a wide range of Volkswagen models, like the new Amarok Core 4x4, tougher than ever, and yours from only $40,990 drive away, including impressive features like Diff Lock, App Connect, and rear view camera. Don't miss out on this season of great deals during Volksfest 2017. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
Back it comes to Clement. Clement, the laser ball. Reynolds attacks the line. He's there. This might be the point for this. He gets it down. That's a try. They score finally.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. By the way, if you want to play in the Z&Z quiz, and we've determined that last week with Stuart Clark and Jared Middleton in the hot seat, that the quiz result doesn't count to the overall. What we haven't determined is whether me v you, Dave, is it you playing the role of Ray Thomas, whether that counts.
It should.
You
well,
think
I'm
it should?
For the 2 weeks, I think it should, because I'll be getting 2 wins for Team Ray. And then, Ray, and then I know you have that carton of pure blonde at the end of the season, I might have to then kick up for Ray and say, I could get a free stubby or a couple. I'm always seeing.
I love your motivations. I love your motivations, you know, whatever it takes. You talk about a carrot or stick, you know. You're a bottle of beer or a stick.
That's it.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever it takes. 1350. I think this man is quite similar, actually, Dean Bulldog Rich. So call now if you want to be part of the quiz, 1353 53. But that'd pretty much be a fair way to describe you, Dean Ritchie. Rather than a carrot and a stick, it's more like a schooner and a stick.
Yes.
Good morning.
Well, I've got a carrot head, I guess.
So you've already got the carrot.
I've got red hair, mate. That's why I used to get called at school, Carrot Head.
Carrot Head.
What was your nickname at school, Jimmy?
Big Jimmy.
Oh, really?
No.
You devil.
Yeah, exactly. Now, people used to have a go at the size of my nose at school.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Mine was Bert, and that's fair dinkum.
After Bert Newton?
Bert Newton. So, you know.
G'day, Dave. How are you going, Chip?
Good, mate. Good. Plenty happening in the world of NRL, and plenty of club news. It is a pretty... Well, I shouldn't say it's an easy sport for you to be involved with, but it's the gift that keeps on giving for a journo, isn't it? NRL.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's an extraordinary sport, as we all know. It's very resilient, but there's always headlines in rugby league. I always say it's like World Championship Wrestling, you know, it just keeps giving and giving. And I often wonder why rugby league's like that. And I think it maybe goes back to just the fact that it's a working class game. It's played by working class people who just, you know, make decisions in life that, you know, sometimes a little bit askew. And but certainly, as far as headlines goes, it can attract a headline that no other sport in Australia. And you know, but whether the profile is also high, the players that do misbehave, everyone knows them, where in other sports, perhaps they're a little less, you know, well-known, and they can get away with the odd, you know, misdemeanour.
Hey, Dino, does Des Hasler coach the Bulldogs in 2018? And how dependent is it on results of these last 5 games?
Yeah, look, Jimmy, at this point, certainly Des Hasler will be there next year. The last five games that you talk about, it's Parramatta, South, Manly, Gold Coast, the Dragons. I was at the Penrith game on Thursday night. Dez was visibly upset in the press conference. He knew that his dream of making the finals this year had evaporated. First time since 2004 that a Hasler coach side won't be there. Look, I spoke to him after the game. He just said, we just desperately need a win. I think just to set the scene for next year, but also, Dez is copying absolute pasty on social media. They're going for the jugular. And, I wrote a column during the week saying that Bulldogs fans, I love their passion, but it's not their God-given right to play finals every year. And, they've just got to suck it up a little bit. The Tigers haven't been there since 2011 and the Eels since 2009. And, Cronulla waited 50 years for a competition. So not every year is full of roses.
We know that they're obviously passionate, but are you surprised? And, I'm sure there are Bulldog supporters out there that have been getting stuck into the players, but are you surprised they haven't been a little bit more vocal away from Dez and said, well, look, he's only coaching with what he's got. What about the, he's not the one dropping the ball on the field or making silly, fifth tackle options, etc.
Oh, exactly, Dave. I mean, Dez seems to be copying the full brunt at the moment.
Yeah.
I guess it's easier to take it out on one person than 17 players. Look, there's a theory among Canterbury fans that Dez isn't a Bulldogs person. If you're not a Bulldogs person, you don't belong at Belmore, which I've said before on this show, I think, is absurd. You pick the best coach. Look, Kieran Foran's going there next year. Aaron Woods is going there next year. There'll be a bit of a revitalised roster. No doubt next year Dez will start under pressure. If they start poorly, I guess the innuendo will kickstart yet again.
It'll never end.
Well, I just said earlier, you can't say, you just got to work with the players that you've got, because Dez got the players there. They're his players. He's been there 5 years.
The payout's the big thing here, Jimmy. Look,
the payout's half a million, from what I understand. It's not the full contract amount.
Yeah, I'm hearing it might even be a bit more than that.
That's a smart move from the Bulldogs.
Well, the football club doesn't have any money at Belmore. It's the Leeds club that have the cash. So.
Yep.
Yeah, like any licensed club around, no one really wants to hand out $1 million or up to $1 million to a bloke to take a cheque and walk out the door. I mean, it's just not good business. So, and look, the board's under pressure too. We know there's elections in February, and they signed him in April. You can't punt him in July. It's just bad business.
Mm-hmm. Club news. Now, what about, we've just been talking to Zorba about the Independent Commission. Have you got any word out of Clubland about what their thoughts are on their representation at the Independent Commission? Actually, stop calling it the Independent Commission. We should just call it the Commission, because it's fast becoming anything but independent. The clubs want representation. The states want representation. What did they think of the appointment of the two commissioners during the week?
Well, I can tell you that the clubs weren't overly thrilled. They were told numerous times in recent years that it would be a non-political sport. Yet here we are. We put Peter Beattie on there and a lady called Megan Davis. Megan Davis is an Aboriginal activist and a human rights lawyer. So, rightly, there's some questions among the clubs as to what she will bring to the game. I'm not doubting her credentials or her ability. I'm just saying, what could she bring to the game? And, of course, Peter Beattie was the former Queensland Premier, obviously a very good, intelligent man. But, again, do we need more politics in rugby league? We're bogged down at times by politics, guys. And here we are bringing two people on board who fit that bill yet again. I mean, it bewilders me at times who makes these appointments.
I was going to say, is that something that you throw your hat in the ring for? I mean, would there be... how come we don't get to see the shortlist?
I think you'd be sounded out for the position.
Yeah,
I think they'd identify you and you'd be sounded out, I would think. But there needs to be some transparency over that.
Well, do the clubs get a vote? I'm told they haven't been told or asked who should be on there. I mean, it could get complicated bringing the clubs in, I guess, but look, they've got a right, I guess, to know who's coming on and whether they agree with the appointment.
Well, wasn't that part of the reason that the chairman walked out?
Correct.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what Mark Campbell and his fellow chair people think about this.
And again, here's a game we're talking about. We seem like we're always...
We haven't spoken about a game yet.
No, we're always talking about this off-field stuff, yet every other code...
No, that's not true.
Well, that doesn't seem to happen in... Maybe it does happen.
When was the last time you spoke about cricket?
Aren't they having a good time? Yeah, that's true.
So it doesn't just happen in this game.
Can Manly do anything today? They've been back with a start, Dean. Very well backed at that 5.5 start.
Yeah, they have been, Dave. And look, I'm sure they'll go down there full of confidence, Manly. They had a They've had a good season so far. They sit on 26 competition points, so they're just keeping their nose above the wind at the moment. Look, Billy Slater in the selection news is out of this game. Cameron Munster will go to fullback. But the big news is it was released yesterday afternoon that Cameron Smith has overcome a pec injury and he will play. And this will be his 350th NRL game, an amazing record for an amazing player. For Manly, they should be 1 through 17. Blake Green, Appy Corrissau back in the side. That's the 2 o'clock game, Navy Park. 4 o'clock, Gold Coast Tigers up there at Robina. Dale Copley in some doubt. They think he'll be all right, but Kevin Proctor has been ruled out of the Titans side. Lavahe Pulu, I think you're on that, is his pronunciation, guys. He will take his place there. And the Tigers should be 1 through 17. Just quickly, guys, the pressure mounts on Tony Archer, referee's boss. Bill Harrigan wrote a column himself during the week where he said, quote unquote, it's time for Archer to resign and show some dignity and move on. So Billy Harrigan there, some strong words suggesting that Tony Archer's time has come and gone. Just quickly too, Trent Hodgkinson, his career in Newcastle, up in the air a little bit. I'm told Connor Watson, Brock Lamb will be the halves next year. That leaves Hodgkinson out in the cold. And just finally, guys, let's give a cheer out to Brett Kenny. A tumour in his stomach was found last week. He started chemotherapy this week. A champion player, of course, and a champion bloke.
Yeah, what's the update on that, Dean? Because I read it online briefly when I was overseas, but not getting the full story.
Yeah, he went and had some tests last week, Jimmy. They found cancer. His stepson, Riley Hilditch, had a fundraiser last week. Of course, Riley is an incomplete quadriplegic through an accident on the Central Coast, but Brett decided not to reveal his illness in front of 700 guests on the night.
Yep.
So that was a lovely gesture from Brett, and he starts his chemotherapy this coming week. It'll be twice a week for the next 4 to 6 months, so he's hoping by January he'll be rid of the cancer and he can move on in life.
Let's hope so, because, friend of the program, he's been a legend of the game, and, as you say, an outstanding player. Dino, thanks for that. We'll speak next week.
Good on you, man. Cheers.
Thanks.
There he is, Dean Bottle, Richie with all the latest. Got to get to the ZNZ quiz, so you're up first with Mark. Dave, away you go.
All right, good morning, Mark. First question. Who scored the first try in Thursday night's Panthers v Bulldogs NRL match?
Got to give these.
And I'll give you the hints.
Yes.
Peter Wallace. How do I say that second name?
Dallin Watene Zalesnia.
Thank you. And or Tyrone Peachy. Which one was it, Mark?
Second one.
No.
The one that we can't pronounce, or I can't pronounce.
Who was it?
It was Peter Wallace, mate.
Okay, let's go.
Here we go. So I keep going.
Yeah, you keep going.
All right, question number two. Who ran for the most metres for the Panthers in that same game? Was it James Taumau, Josh Mansour, or Dylan Edwards?
Mansour.
All right, Mark. We've got one more. Jimmy's just laughing over here. Fair dinkum. Now, question number three. Which country will host next March's Oceania Billiards and Snooker Championship? What type of question is it? Did you put this in?
No, come on, keep
it's,
going.
Is it Fiji, New Zealand, or Papua New Guinea?
Fiji.
Bad luck, Mark. We're short on time, but you realise the ridiculousness of the third question. That comes from producer Jeremy, so blow up about that all you like, because he's the one who decides who's on the program.
Unlucky, Mark.
New Zealand, it was. New Zealand. Sheik of the North, good morning.
Yeah. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really well. Let's jump into this. Who made the most tackles in Thursday night's Panthers v Bulldogs NRL match? Was it Aidan Tolman, James Graham, or Moses Mbai?
I'll say Aidan Tolman.
Yeah, right. So what we do here is we stop the fight. And that question, by the way, sponsored by Adrian. So given the fact that he loves Aidan Tolman so much. Sheik of the North, who's your team?
Mate, Sydney Roosters. Always have been, always will be.
This is a stitch-up.
No, it's not a stitch-up, I tell you what. Can we send
Jimmy's neighbour.
Now, listen, the red, white and blue watchers apparently are walking out the stores there at ZNZ. So we will send one of those to you, Sheik of the North. And we might even throw in a couple of CDs. Just
can I say something controversial before the news?
That'll be fantastic. I want to just say hello to everyone up in the mid-north coast. And I love the program. You know, I've always loved the BSB and the weekend BSB as well.
Outstanding.
Good night, mate. Double pack of CDs, okay? Sheik of the North.
Something controversial. Just listeners, I'm just going to try and bait Jimmy up here. But from what I saw last night, and you'll watch the replay.
Yeah.
The Roosters play like they did last night, they can't win the comp. Even though they beat the Cowboys, we heard Zorba say Cowboys are gone.
Yeah.
I don't think your mob can do it.
Well,
they can't beat the Storm. Can anyone beat the Storm?
I don't think so.
I was hoping you'd be a bit more pat, go, you know, bugger off, David. They'll be winning and blah, blah, blah. That's what I was hoping. I'm trying to stoke the bear.
I'm unbiased in my commentary around this. Unbiased. I love the Rabbitohs as well.
Oh.
The Western Suburbs Magpies.
What if I... Can we get you walking down Pitt Street in a Rabbitohs jersey? Can we get that on film or something?
There's no need for that. No need for that. 1353-53, the open line number. So we're going to take a break here because it's news time. After the news, we're looking forward to this. As I said earlier, I declared he's a mate of mine, but he's written an outstanding book. He's the rugby league journalist and rock and roll journalist. He travels the world following his two loves, and he's landed in French's Forest on a...